Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hello again. Now, returning to Eamon Ryan as an announcement that he was stepping down. He said just about some of the remarks that were addressed to him online over his time as leader, particularly one thing stood out. He said, "I'll never forget one morning waking up and looking at my phone and seeing a really nasty comment about my father who had just died." I think, in naming the person referring to the person who had made the comment, "I think he's the only person I've ever blocked personally. I couldn't believe that he had knowingly made such hard comments. It was dispiriting." He went on to say, "It's become worse since then. There's a coordinated campaign. I can post up a post and 10 minutes later, 150 comments have been posted, all in a similar vein." That's remarks made to Harry McGee of the Irish Times there today, and similar remarks made when he was stepping down. So what is the impact of this on politicians? Is it getting worse, and what can be done about it? I've been speaking to Aoife Gallagher, a senior analyst with the Institute of Strategic Dialogue, and I began by asking her if the abuse that's directed towards politicians online is intended to get people out of public life.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think generally, like what we've seen throughout the past, I go back maybe about 5 years or thereabouts, is an increase in these kind of really aggressive and confrontational kind of tactics. We saw it, you know, even during the pandemic towards like doctors and pharmacists. And at that time we saw, I suppose, the first incidents of groups mobilizing outside politicians' home or kind of harassing politicians in the streets and things like that there. But I think that, you know, generally what we've seen and the analysis that we did at ISD with the Hope and Courage Collective, you know, tracking these incidents throughout the campaign, what we saw, what we were tracking really were incidents that are really meant to instill fear. Do you know what I mean? They are meant to intimidate. We're not talking about kind of, you know, bad words and kind of general insults. It really is kind of a different level, I suppose, of aggression and threats that we've seen over the last number of years. So those trends are definitely there and are kind of, you know, clearly increasing in terms of, you know, the tactics that they're using and the frequency of them as well.
And is this becoming a phenomenon because people who are angry and people who may subscribe to conspiracy theories have found a community online, and this sense of there being strength in numbers is emboldening them?
Yes, certainly. I think that that is one of the biggest motivating factors, I would say. You know, although the incidents that we did find incidents that targeted candidates across the political spectrum. So there are a number of incidents that targeted people on the far right, for example. But the vast majority of incidents were carried out by individuals who are clearly motivated by, as you say, either conspiratorial ideas or far right ideologies, I suppose. And I mean, I think it's important to say that there are leading figures within Ireland's far right that actively encourage people to engage in this kind of behaviour. And it is widely celebrated within those communities. I mean, one of the trends it's very clear to see is, you know, recording the confrontation that you have with someone and then posting it online because it gets celebrated and you kind of get kudos, I suppose, among those communities for doing things like that. What this kind of signifies generally is a growing polarization across society, coupled with a growing radicalization of people as well. And I think this generally leads to an inability of people really to kind of engage in regular political debate and kind of drives people to take these extreme actions, I suppose. And I mean, a lot of, you know, there's also very valid reasons, I suppose, why people have a growing distrust in the political system or a growing distrust in institutions that are meant to protect us.
But that sense of society being polarized and the either you're with us or against us type debate, that's not normally how people go about their day-to-day lives in the street, how they interact with people, or indeed how people vote, as evidenced by the recent election. So is there a distorted or even an amplified sense of how divided society is by people who consume or engage in a lot of this kind of social media contact?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, I think, is that most people in this country and most people in countries around the world would be appalled by the actions that they're seeing and would see them really as being completely unacceptable. And I think that what we are letting happen really is a very loud minority of people who are motivated by extreme ideas. And we're kind of allowing them to really rattle and shake the foundations of democracy here and really attempt to kind of silence people and push people out of politics, which is really, I think, the main aim of it. You know,
what kind of abuse, when it comes into the real world, when people were out on the campaign trail, yourselves, as you say, in the Hope and Courage Collective, did look at instances of this that were reported in the media, when you were putting them all together, what were among the worst examples that you saw?
Well, I'd say the two worst examples were the two assaults on two female councillors. So Tanya Doyle and Janet Horner were actually both assaulted on the same night while they were out putting up posters. So that was definitely, I think, the worst of the kind of offline incidents that we saw. But there were also, you know, multiple incidents where particularly candidates from migrant backgrounds were confronted really aggressively in the street.
And that was Aoife Gallagher of the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, a senior analyst with them, speaking to me earlier. Malcolm Noonan, just when online abuse that Eamon Ryan describes spills over into on-street confrontations or even assault, maybe the role that social media has in polarisation and promotion of real-world activity needs to be looked at. What are the proposals at the moment to deal with that?
Well, certainly there's a specific role there for Commissioner Mann. The Electoral Commission, which I established as well back in 2022, I think has a role in terms of its research function, but also in working with the social media companies. Minister O'Brien and I had all of the social media companies in with us a few months ago just to discuss these very issues.
How satisfactory was that interaction?
It was good. It was robust. I do think that we need to continue that dialogue. And there, you know, that many of them signed up to a voluntary participation.
Who didn't?
I think they all did, as far as I recall. But I think critically important is that that there is a standardisation of approach in terms of how they allow online content, and particularly during electoral events. I think it's important, as we see the manifestation of the online abuse. It comes out in actual physical attacks on candidates. And I think that's just completely unacceptable. The one thing that's good about our democracy is the fact that you can have access to your politician. Someone can come up and give out to me in the local supermarket about something I did or didn't do. And I would hate to see that being undermined. And I think we it's a collective responsibility, both in the Dáil in terms of contributions of TDs as well, but also in council chambers, that we need to be responsible ourselves in our discourse. Our political discourse.
Duncan Smith, briefly, what's the priority issue on this to stop another resignation partly informed by the abuse people are getting online?
In terms of tackling the abuse online?
Yeah.
Look, the social media companies have a huge role to play. Like I as a politician, have stopped almost engaging with social media. I post and then I don't look at replies. And I am on the low end of the scale in terms of getting abuse. I wouldn't be in the I'd be in the haping place compared to what Eamon Ryan and others have been put through. But it's become a place where politicians don't want to be, and we talk about it amongst ourselves. We want to communicate, and it's not reflective of when we are out either in the supermarket or in advice clinics or meeting people and being on the ground. Social media is a totally different world, and platforms, particularly X, I have a huge issue with X. X is increasing in its toxicity, and it's a place that politicians just, I think, are going to go less and less, and it won't be a place of engagement, which it used to be.
Okay. Callum, very, very briefly, Marian Harkin,
just briefly,
we're up against
spoke
the clock.
About strategic dialogue. It's up to politicians to keep ploughing the middle ground, not to separate people into good people and bad people because of their views. You've got to listen. When you go on the doors, and my two colleagues know this, the vast, vast majority of people are in the middle ground. And that's where politicians have a responsibility as well, in their words and their actions, to keep appealing to those people and not to segregate the people into good and bad, depending on whether they agree with the ideology of a political party or not.
Okay.
That's an important responsibility as well.
All right, that's where we have to leave it for today.